שלום, אנחנו בשיעור נקרא קטעים נבחרים.
We're going to read excerpts. The topic is giving contentment to the Creator. We will start with excerpt number 25. You can send us your questions to kab.tv. Selected questions will be in the course of the lesson.
חוכמת הקבלה.
The wisdom of Kabbalah describes to us a process. All in all, from the state we're in, even when we're unconscious of our state, our quality, in order to receive, egoistic, everything for myself, I see no one else, I pass everything through me, whatever is for my sake or not to my benefit, I color it according to my own colors as good or bad, until we gradually begin to criticize our perception, how much we are addicted to our will to receive, how much it controls us, we're incapable of rising above it, but we begin to see that it's it and not us. There is a certain inner detachment from the will to receive. When we don't want to be associated with it without our mind and our reason, rather reluctantly we carry out its commands, but we see that we have no other choice but to do it. And then another step, when we try perhaps not to do as it commands, rise above what our ego or our will to receive dictates. And in this way, we gradually wish to see it as our enemy, the one who faces us, who hates us, and how to move away from it, how to keep it outside of ourselves, and reject it more and more, if possible. And in this way we go through stages called Lo Lishma. But we know it's Lo Lishma. We are inside our ego, we have no choice, we are obligated, obliged to be under its dominion. But we understand that he is the evil Pharaoh. Until we're unable to remain under its rule. I'm better off dead. I'm willing to run away from it in the middle of the night because the darkness is less scary to me, less appalling than the Pharaoh and the parting of the Red Sea, which is before me. I'm willing to jump into it as long as I can escape the thoughts and desires that constantly conquer me, chase me. And in this way, we come to the border between Lishma and Lo Lishma. So we are in a state of being inside the ego without our knowledge. Then we begin to admit that, yes, we understand, we feel that we are inside our ego. When we want to come out, or we don't want to come out, but we started perhaps certain actions that will take us out. And in this way, we've come to a state where, yes, we wish to rise above it. Of course, all those states come to us from above. Sometimes we can say that there is something that is up to us. Other times we see that nothing is up to us. But that's how we advance, nevertheless, in these new discernments, sharper, clearer. Then we come to a state called from Lo Lishma, we go to Lishma, where Lo Lishma is when I want to be in order to bestow. I want to come out of the control of my ego. I want to keep everything the Creator wants. And I feel just how much I'm incapable of doing any of it if my nature is controlling me, and how sometimes I'm able to, I want to, I think about doing something if I receive an awakening from above, and I can be under the control of the will to bestow somehow, to some extent. How much it immediately opens up this new world, new perception, sensation. That's how we advance. Let's see what Rabash writes about it. 17.
Okay, except number 17. Entering the work, Rabash. After he achieves this degree called Lo Lishma, he is rewarded with other phenomena. When he comes to a higher state, that is, at that time he has no consideration of himself, and all his calculations and thoughts are the truth. In other words, his aim is only to annul himself before the true reality, where he feels that he must only serve the king, because he feels the exaltedness and greatness and importance of the king. At that time, he forgets, meaning he has no need to worry about himself, as his own self is annulled as a candle before a torch, before the existence of the Creator that he feels. Then he is in a state of lishma for his sake, meaning contentment to the Creator. And his concerns and yearnings are only about how he can delight the Creator, while his own existence, meaning the will to receive, does not merit a name whatsoever. Then he is regarded as bestowing in order to bestow. Again. After he achieves this degree called Lo Lishma, not for his sake, he is rewarded with other phenomena. When he comes to a higher state, that is, at that time, he has no consideration of himself, and all his calculations and thoughts are the truth. In other words, his aim is only to annul himself before the true reality, where he feels that he must only serve the king, because he feels the exaltedness and greatness and importance of the king. At that time, he forgets, meaning he has no need to worry about himself, as his own self is annulled as a candle before a torch, before the existence of the Creator that he feels. Then he is in a state of lishma, for her sake, meaning contentment to the Creator, and his concerns and yearnings are only about how he can delight the Creator, while his own existence, meaning the will to receive, does not merit a name whatsoever. Then he is regarded as bestowing in order to bestow.
How do we help the Creator to take us from the state of Lo Lishma, which is already a very advanced, very important degree, Rabash writes to us that even more important than Lishma, which is the pure degree, is the degree of Lo Lishma, the one that precedes it, where we can't even appreciate it. So, my first question is, do you have a verse?
Rabash, peace after dispute is more important than having no dispute at all. We should know that the degree of Lo Lishma, not for her sake, is a very important degree. And we don't have the mind to appreciate the importance of Torah and mitzvot in Lo Lishma, not for her sake. And Baal HaSulam said, as much as a person understands to appreciate the work in Lishma, which is an important work, he must know that Lo Lishma is even more important than Lishma. A person gives a measure to its importance because one is not qualified to appreciate the importance of observing Torah and Mitzvot even in Lo Lishma. But surely the wholeness of keeping Torah and Mitzvot should be in Lishma for her sake.
How can we imagine to ourselves the degree of Lo Lishma? Can we be in it? Can we think about entering it? Go ahead. What does it mean? Lo Lishma? Not for her sake. And what does it mean towards us, with respect to us?
Not for her sake, Lo Lishma is a degree where I still operate in order to receive. I still receive pleasure and I operate in order to obtain such pleasure for myself. But I have a purpose. I want my actions with the help of the reforming light eventually, at some point, will draw a sufficient light and it will come to a state where I do things whose purpose is not for myself.
Lo Lishma, when I want to be guarantor for the friends, but they have to have a certain reward.
The most one rich in his trying, in his efforts to be in bestowal, but what can he do? It's not up to him. He can try. But as long as he's not allowed from above, he cannot enter a state of Lishma.
Everything required in the society, everything Rav is aiming us to do, directing us to do, and I see that the benefit is still for myself to receive in order to receive.
What does it mean for us to be in it? Only to make additional efforts to for greater connection. Even though it's not true bestow, but that's the best we can do. We have to yearn, we have to try. And the light will bring us to the state of truth, to the world of truth. Obviously, we're living in a lie right now.
Doesn't matter, we're living a lie, but the tendency is such that we're interested. We want to come to a state where we do our actions for the sake of bestowal, the sake of the Creator, the sake of the Torah, everything that we're directed to do, and our means. In the special cell of ours. But for now, we have a different fuel. But the direction is to come out of our thought of ourselves.
I would say that that state is all of our efforts, our entire work, before the upper light dresses in it. we're still working without knowing exactly for what, but we create a deficiency, a prayer, or building such a connection between us that we want to be connected to the Creator. And then it will be Lishma, because we can't really bestow upon Him only such efforts. That's the only thing we can bestow upon Him.
Yeah, we hear this thing called Lishma. We want to come to it. We want to bestow it to the friends and through them to the Creator. But we discovered that the fuel is egoistic. And we depend on that and not on going to bestow for the sake of greatness and everything we learn. Each time we discover more and more of it, we are limited. We need the benefit of ourselves for ourselves.
It's not enough that I'm doing something towards the friends and reveal something for myself, but what matters is that also what I'm doing right now, which is not Lishma, that it will eventually bring me to Lishma. That point is important.
Rav, how do we get to the state of Lo Lishma? Nevertheless, we were not in it. We were like all other people. How, by what, did we come to a state called Lo Lishma? Go ahead.
By wanting to be in the state of Lishma, we have a certain desire to resemble the Creator, and we long not to depend on reward, but to settle on having fuel, not to think of ourselves, because the Creator doesn't think of Himself. And from that, we come to the recognition that we're incapable of, and that is the state of Lo Lishma, where I must have a reward.
When the Creator brought us to a group, and we are working with the Kabbalistic texts, we're studying with Rav, we enter the place where a state where it influences us, the desire to reach Lishma, this effort. We entered a high degree called Lo Lishma.
Yeah, the influence of the environment.
Rav, what is our participation? What was it in going from the regular state to, or normal state to, the state of Lo Lishma, compared to the part we need to add now in order to go from Lo Lishma to Lishma? What's the difference in our participation in these transitions from normal existence to Lo Lishma and from Lo Lishma to Lishma?
Okay, we would realize all the advices and we're under the influence of the environment on the one hand, and on the other hand, we pray that our whole work will be for the friends, not for myself, but for the friends outside of me. And that is how we give contentment to the Creator.
The difference is what moves us to be under the influence of the light. Was it the upper force that brought us, or we are making efforts to increase this influence on us? And then it's a realization of Kabbalists' advices, and they write only about that, how to bring a person to having the light influence him.
Except for the influence of the light that is working on us, we can see what fuel we're using and how we're implementing it. So we have the first stage where we receive the awakening from above, from the Creator, an awakening from the group, and our addition as our awakening into the system. and how these values over us inverts and what serves as fuel for us. What is the importance? Who is the first?
The first stage, we worked on identifying or locating where is the where we're lacking connection, what kind of connection is missing, to see such a thing doesn't exist, build a yearning for this thing called the ten, the center of the ten. And after we have such a deficiency and it's more or less crystallized, we know how to work with it, then inside of that deficiency we want the light to come and we'll be able to work with it in order to bestow to the Creator.
First stage are actions which Kabbalista set for us in the group. It Kalilut, we try to annul ourselves, we try to perform all kinds of actions in dissemination, in the ten, what Rav is leading us to do, actions which don't require an intention. And second phase is when we're starting to look for intention. We're trying to think, why are we doing these actions for?
Rav, by which means do I come to Lolishma and then to Lishma? Which means that's right before me, that's up to me, can I reach Lishma?
In both cases, where the friend is moving from an egoistic state, from lo lishma to lishma, the means is you, the friends. The ten in which you invest in order to draw the reforming light and to perform such inner changes.
The means, only the ten, by starting to care about one another, enter the state of Arvut, and then discovering that we must have some reward. We can't do it lishma, really purely. There's nothing pure about these actions.
It's like Baal HaSulam says, only the matter of strengthening into the group after the Creator placed men's hands in the good environment, only to cleave on to the ten in the entire process as much as possible.
Yeah, it's to transfer the importance towards the friends even more, without any personal gain, only the importance of the deficiency that will come out of the friends. The Creator is speaking through them. The attention is to come to that.
The means, well, if the goal eventually is to give him contentment, then the means is really the society, because only together can we do that.
Rav, how can I imagine myself as the one who annuls to the society, and by that I annul to the Creator and I enter Lishma? How can I imagine to myself my annulment towards the society, and in it my annulment towards the Creator? And then entering Lishma. Help one another build this image.
Other than the fact that we learn and invest constantly on that point where the spiritual reality is only in the structure of the ten, you have no direct contact with the Creator. We depend on each other. And the Creator can be revealed and express Himself only through the friends. That is our contact point with the Creator, that is our point of correction with Him. And we should mainly publicize that and to see that it is important for each and every one of us. This is our life.
Just as we spoke about it at the end of the lesson yesterday, to see myself as small towards the friends, see the friends as great in order to receive from them the importance of the Creator, the importance of the goal, to bestow contentment to Him. All those things, we need to work on them together. It's not that one replaces the other, rather. Anything we can attack together, we should do it, because that can awaken envy in the friends. Now the friend is great. In what? Because he wants to bestow contentment to the Creator, because he annuls to the day, because he wants to bestow contentment to the Creator. To start tying these things together, arrange this picture, and we'll have the strength to do it in the
One disappears in the society. He serves them only for them to advance in everything it takes.
Still not enough, and the next stage of annulling towards the society is the society annulling towards the Creator. That's the next stage we need to reach Lishma.
In our society, there are values. Let's say the value of reaching Lishma, to work without a reward, to resemble the Creator. And that is annulment. Excerpt number 18. Rabash, anyone who sanctifies the seventh. When one comes to a degree where he wants to bestow upon the Creator, meaning give contentment to his Maker, he begins to contemplate what the Creator needs so he can give it to him, since all his concerns are to please the Creator. At that time, he realizes that the only reason he created the world was to receive pleasures from him, and that more than this, the Creator does not need. Hence, he follows the Creator's will and receives the pleasures. At that time, there is no issue of bread of shame, because he is not receiving the pleasures because he wants to enjoy, but because he wants to bestow upon the Creator. For when one achieves the degree of wanting only to bestow upon the Creator, the tzimtzum, restriction, is lifted from him, and he sees the world as full of his glory. Then he sees that all this was revealed to him so he would enjoy it. Hence, once he has obtained the degree of bestow, meaning obtained the degree where all he wants is only to bestow contentment upon the Creator, he fills himself with all the pleasures that his eyes see. As in the explanation, the whole earth is full of his glory.
How do we feel that transition, that switch, where, let's say, I taste something really tasty and I enjoy, or I begin to enjoy the fact that I got it from someone, from the friend, let's say, and I want to delight him by tasting it? What's going on inside of me? What is going on inside of me where instead of tasting something sweet, something good, what the friend is offering me, I change to a state where that pleasure wish to return to him, to relate to Him, that I do it not for myself, but for Him. What's happening inside of me? What kind of... Do I stop looking at pleasures? Do I activate intentions? What do I do? What kind of emotional transitions do I have to change in me? Go ahead.
Wow, so many things. Fear is accumulated in him, and the importance of the giver, who it is so big, it is more important for him and more powerful than the pleasure that he receives. The friend who gives, the teacher who gives, the creator who gives, and then that is true fear. He wants to do.
Maybe from a place of the end of the act is in the initial thought, where you check, where is your attention? Is there a personal gain, or you're moving towards seeing that the benefit of the ten, the friend, will be more important? To give him contentment, the Creator, everything through the ten, to see in the end, where are you aimed?
From wanting to enjoy for myself, I want him to feel it, but not that he will just feel it, but he should feel how I treat him, I feel towards him. I want to delight him, I want him to feel good.
All those efforts certainly awaken the light to influence us. But the main thing that we are working on, I think, with this action or with this process, is raising that importance of the Creator, the one to whom we're aiming all these actions, by awakening one another, influencing one another. This is where our intention is going, and the means are all, they'll justify the goal.
And thanks to the greatness of the Creator, the goal and bestowal, you can start identifying it. This is the starting point. And from this starting point, when you identify that feeling from how the friend feels, you can start scrutiny from shame, which is a feeling towards myself, to start invert it and to want at least to do it outwardly in order to give it back to him. So I think that shame is that starting point, inversion.
What's happening is that, as Rabash writes, we are walking in the Creator's world. We are constantly in connection with the Ten. So you will be able to notice that when the friend is offering us this opportunity, specifically to restrict the personal vessel, the vessel of bestowal, of reception, then out of the importance and connection in the tent, to see it as an opportunity to bestow contentment to the giver. We don't want to look at what he's giving, but his desire to bestow, and we go and feel that.
We should have an interchange of values that bestow and giving will be the greatest, more appreciated thing, and that we get pleasure from it, and a person should feel it in actions that he do for his friends. He can start seeing where he's at, and only because bestowal takes an important place in him, he can identify that it's also outside of him, that everyone are in it. The question is, what does he appreciate?
Yeah, this change of values allows a person to restrict his action to
except number 19,
do something against his desire.
Except number 19, Baal HaSulam, there is none else besides him. Shamati 1. Although the will to receive is necessary, Since this is the whole of man, since anything that exists in a person apart from the will to receive does not belong to the creature, but we attribute it to the Creator. But the will to receive pleasure should be corrected to work in order to bestow. That is, the pleasure and joy that the will to receive takes should be with the aim that there is contentment above when the creatures feel pleasure. As this was the purpose of creation, to do good to his creations. This is called the joy of the Shekhinah, divinity, above. For this reason, one must seek advice how he can bring contentment above. Clearly, if he receives pleasure, there will be contentment above. Therefore, he yearns to always be in the king's palace and to have the ability to play with the king's treasures. And this will certainly bring contentment above. It follows that all his longing should be only for the sake of the Creator. Again, although the will to receive is necessary, since this is the whole of man, since anything that exists in a person apart from the will to receive does not belong to the creature, but we attribute it to the Creator. But the will to receive pleasure should be corrected to work in order to bestow. That is, the pleasure and joy that the will to receive takes should be with the aim that there is contentment above when the creatures feel pleasure, as this was the purpose of creation, to do good to his creations. This is called the joy of the Shekhinah above. For this reason, one must seek advice how he can bring contentment above. Clearly, if he receives pleasure, there will be contentment above. Therefore, he yearns to always be in the king's palace and to have the ability to play with the king's treasures. And this will certainly bring contentment above. It follows that all his longing should be only for the sake of the Creator.
Shilot.
Any questions?
No.
So it turns out from what he's writing that there's a great inversion between the goal, longing, and working in bestowing in order to bestow, as if there's a conflict between the two.
Of course, this is called restriction, screen, zivug dehaka, coupling and striking, reflected light. Everything works in an opposite way.
לקבל תענוג בסופו של דבר כי בזה יהיה נחת רוח
כי בזה יהיה נחת רוח קודם
because in that there will be contentment. That's why there is a restriction, because by that I give contentment and that's why I receive pleasure. The intention precedes the action, whereas before there was the action would precede everything and the intention would come after.
But even before, you have to work and bestow in order to bestow. There is no calculation with receiving pleasure.
And that's the transition. Yeah. I can't receive anything unless I have an intention to bestow contentment to the Creator, let's say.
How can work in bestowing in order to bestow when the longing should be eventually for receiving pleasure? So what is the work in bestowing in order to bestow?
There are two things here. First, I can come to a state where I cancel my desire and my yearning, and by that I go down to zero. seemingly was not created, don't exist. And it's not acceptable in the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's acceptable in various religions that work to destroy the will to receive. A person doesn't want. Stops wanting, and Baal Sulam writes about it in the introduction to the study of Ten Sefirot. That's how it used to be in the ancient times. They came to such torments that they have no more will to receive. And that's how they worked. This you can be done with a small will to receive, and not that you turn it to invert it to in order to bestow. Whereas to come to the other side of the coin, as he writes there, do you have it?
An introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, item 11. The sages of the Talmud make the path of Torah easier more than the sages of the Mishmah, because they say one should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even in lo lishma, and from lo lishma he comes to lishma, meaning because the light in it reforms him.
Meaning we don't destroy the will to receive, we don't suppress it so much that it wants to awaken. It's afraid, you know, like with a dog. You beat him up, he stops wanting. It's not that he stops wanting the thing, the source of his pleasure, but you beat him up so much that he makes a connection between the blows and the pleasure. The pleasure becomes a suffering, a source of suffering. In that way, you simply repress the will to receive. You don't correct it. You curse the pleasure, you curse the blow, you curse the Creator. In this way, you can't come to the purpose. And
therefore, they gave us a new thing instead of torments which are brought in Mishnah, which is the light of the Torah, which have enough strength to reform him and bring him to engagement in Torah and mitzvot in Lishma. Therefore, because they did not mention mortification here, but only engagement in Torah and mitzvot is enough for him, that light that reforms, to be able to engage in Torah and mitzvot in order to give contentment to one's maker and not at all for his own pleasure. And that is called Lishma, for her sake.
That's it. You have a means. By this means, you're slowly moving to a new intention. The intention precedes the action. Meaning, first you had an action by which you sought to receive pleasure. Then, performing certain action, inviting the reforming light through the ten and other ways, you started to think about how it's not going to be you who enjoys, but you want to actually delight someone. And then your work becomes correction. You correct yourself until you begin to think that what's important to you is to bring contentment not to yourself, but to the other. And how can you bring contentment to the other? By stopping the flow of the thought about your pleasure and starting to think about the pleasure of the other. You're moving to a state where you understand that only if you enjoy with the intention of bringing contentment to the Creator can you receive from Him, and it will be like bestowal. What's the question? I mean, the intention precedes everything.
And what does it mean to work on the intention?
I want the Creator to be important to me more than my own pleasure.
But if I have to restrict the pleasure, to restrict it, so how can I measure how much intention do I have?
These are all the calculations.
And what should do such calculations when you're building the intention?
Of course. How else can you work with the intention? But that's along the way. If you come to it, you'll see how to measure it. Nevertheless, you have to go through a restriction. After the restriction, to build an attitude to the Creator. That will be more important than your attitude to your ego. And then, accordingly, you can measure how much to receive in order to bestow. We're now going to what? Let's go to the introduction to TESS. Maybe a song? I have a song. Song number 15.
באתי לעולם הזה בכדי לדעת לגלות עולם נסתר והוא היד יש כאלה אנשים להם חיכית והם רואים את מה שאף אחד לא רואה יש בי שאלה גדולה איך הגיע לגלות מה שגילו איך להניע תבחר לך סביבה טובה ותגיע ותגלה לך עולם מושלם שנעלם את עולמך תראה בחייך את עולמך בחייך עוד בעולם הזה תראה עולמך באתי לעולם הזה בכדי לצמוח להשתנות ולגלות ולא לברוח מהגילוי שמחכה איתי לשמוח דרך חברים עוד תגלה נפלאות את עולמך תראה בחייך את עולמך תראה בחייך עוד בעולם הזה תראה עולמך את עולמך תראה בחייך את עולמך תראה בחייך עוד בעולם